a grain of rice is going to tip the scale. Just remember that, lad.
There's a small bit of a needle there.
Now, come on, Mayo, you've got to get Andy Moran into the game.
Our mission was to show that we're no longer the whipping boys of Munster.
Hi, people. How you all doing? Nice, compact crew here today for our Monday Hurling Sports Pod with the Irish Examiner. No little All-Ireland men on duty at all today. Mark Landers is gone to Wexford. Rumour has it to buy a two-year-old, TJ, bred in the purple because he's made loads of money all year on the Queen. And that is the talk out there, TJ. I don't know how true it is.
Yeah, he was strongly rumoured, right, Jed, that he was. And in fairness, those Wexford boys are good to breed him, so he's going to the right place.
Yeah. So I must try and get in contact with Paul Nolan later on, see was there any sightings of him around his yard and that kind of thing. So we have TJ, obviously, and we're delighted to have Ken Hogan as well, who witnessed a couple of massive days in the stadium. Ken, I suppose, disappointing one on Saturday for you, but I mean, you witnessed an absolute epic, and we will talk about it.
Outstanding games, by the way. Obviously, the heart was low on Saturday evening with the lads involved and all that. It's tough to take. It's 89 since we won a championship medal at senior level in Lara. So we were just hoping to reverse that. But great game, and we'll talk about the goals later. Suppose yesterday was unbelievable. I've never witnessed it. As long as I'm at matches, I've never witnessed the sheer intensity, the sheer drama that we witnessed at the senior final yesterday. Unbelievable.
Yeah, and I suppose we spoke at length last week about the James Stevens Ballyhale game, but I think this probably even surpassed it yesterday for sheer drama. We've Larry as well there, give us a hand on all the tip stuff, obviously. No, lads, we plenty to talk about. There's all sorts of things happened all over the country. I suppose some of the finals are coming to an end. We've a lot of them over now, but we've a lot to look forward to as well next weekend, and we'll touch on those as well as we go along. TJ, you were on duty Saturday night. I was on duty Saturday night. I wasn't seen. I was heard, but TJ, you were certainly seen anyway.
Yeah, I've got a good few comments about the old jacket. I suppose we'll start with giving my buddy Declan and Sexton's from inside in town a plug. He's kidded me out there the last couple of times. And all I'll say, lads, if you
just
want
to say that again, is it Sexton's for Men?
Sexton's for Men. And he's got a shop in Newcastle West and the Stole this week if somebody happens to be down around there. If you want to look the part, get a trendy jacket, pair of pants, whatever you need, call into Declan. Tell him I sent you on. You will be really well looked after this week.
So if we have a couple of winners down there, maybe on I was thinking of going to Cross, maybe, but sure, no one knows what the week holds with the way the numbers are going. We were half thinking of going to Cross Thursday and the ferry. So if I'm going well, I could pop into Declan.
Yeah, there's a possibility Limerick could be locked down as well, Dale. So you might have to go into the ferry like you can pass through. Yeah, but call into Declan. Yeah, if you want the trendy jacket or any of that type of stuff, in fairness, him top man, he'll look after you.
But just on that, Tidge, the measurement on the trousers, was that a bit on the short side?
Small bit of right, yeah. But no, that's kind of the way I'm trying to, I suppose, maybe not that these years keep catching up with me, Dale. I'm trying to kind of hang in there for as long as I can.
You'll just have to think of Jackie Tyrrell now if you're going that way anymore and lose the socks. Like, the sockets is the thing to go.
No, I need the socks.
You still are at that vintage.
Yeah, I'm still there, yeah, definitely.
Look, it was an easier night. I'm going to say this to you. When the games are classics, and Ken will be able to back up this, core commentary is a fantastic place to be, Ken. You know, but when the games are one-sided and long, Ken, core commentary can be tough going, can't it?
And you have to retain the interest, and you have to obviously respect the efforts of both teams.
Correct.
And, you know, just nothing went right in the night for Doon. I watched it. I tuned in to RT and saw TJ with his jacket, and I saw that young fella with him as well. I didn't know who he was. Was it his son or was it his nephew? I don't know who he was, but some young fella was a trendy looking fella anyway. But
That happened to be Gavin O'Mahony.
That was the most exciting part of the evening for me. Because it just didn't take off after that, you know, unfortunately.
It was nicer to be in the studio where you could pick out your clips of the goals and look at the various systems. That's the pros and cons that you don't know. If I was in Simple Stadium yesterday, I'd rather have been in the co-com than the studio. And that would look at Tej and the PRC, I suppose, Will, I don't know who said it. A lot of people got their answers. He said it in today's 32-page, again, lads, I have to say, sports supplement in the Examiner. incredible quality, incredible coverage from every tip of the country, GAA and the rest. I think Leinster were even beaten in the rugby. We've been bits over that down this way. But no, that's all covered. All that stuff is covered in the Premier League and all. And Hon Min Song scoring 4 goals for Tottenham as well, as not to be forgotten, 4 assists from Harry Kane. All right, Larry, I see you smirking there in the background. You got a jammy win there as well, Arsenal. Well, Tej, you know, a lot of answers. That was probably a bit too strong, really. There's no, they didn't need to answer anyone, really, but...
No, but I think that was more internal, Taylor, than anything else. Like, if you take maybe the last 2 years, like two years ago, they were beaten by Ballygunner in the Munster Club final, and they had an internal Paul Beery looking after the team, and they made a change after that, and there was some noises that it was the players maybe had looked for that change. And then last year, they went with Michael Ryan, and, you know, Declan Fanny had come in at some stage, and the Shotness involved in the team, and last year didn't go great, and then all of a sudden, it was being questioned as to whether these changes were good or bad. And then the start of the year, they put in Kieran Birmingham, who captained the team to win that first county in 2011. And, you know, they got beaten early doors by Kilmallock, and that's where they, maybe the two or three questions of the hunger came from.
Yeah.
I suppose that's kind of what Will O'Donoghue was referring to. But certainly on Saturday night, their A game kicked into gear. And I know I've been at some games where we've been on the receiving end of it. If you let Napiershi do that, there is probably no better team in the country. Their ball play, their slickness, their pace up front, their ability to get scores, fully evident on Saturday night.
Yeah, and it looked to me, and you know, Ken, it looked to me like they had a very set game plan. Was, you know, to Pat Ryan had done all the damage against Kilmallock, and for me, they kind of set Tommy Grimes, who's a box to box midfielder, really, in terms of his fitness levels are through the roof. But that if Pat drifted out, Ronan Lynch was certainly not following him out. And we've discussed this, and you were on it as well, about this Rove and 11 role. And obviously, Pat Ryan did rack against Kilmallock, scoring 7 points. But, you know, just didn't get a look in at all with the system that Piercy played. But, of course, they don't have weak links either, which is another way of looking at it. Like,
that's a huge help. That's a huge help. Like, and Ronan Lynch is the one player you don't want with the ball, because he's such an array of skills and his striking ability to hit left or right and to hit it into the pocket where damage will be done. But overall, the Piercy set up, and TJ alluded to it, funny enough, Declan Fanning was held on to, you know. So obviously they had high regard for Declan, and I'm not surprised by that. And he would add that bit of steel as well and know-how in the defensive end of things. But they filled the pocket well, like, whether we like it or not, it's an old cliche now, Delo, but the matchups are so important. The matchups. And if you don't get them right, you're in a small bit of bother. Unfortunately, naivety won't get you over the line. You know, you can have all the exuberance you like. And Doon came in with exuberance, I felt. And, you know, obviously Pat Ryan is a free-flowing player, and he's only a human being like the rest of us. It didn't work out for him. Didn't work out for Barry Murphy, bar the freeze. But from the other end of it, you know, we talk about ball winners and the ability to win hard ball. But, like, not only have, in my estimation, not only have Napiercy Gwan player, but Jesus, Conor Boylan and David Dimsey, like, their skills. People underestimate their skills. It's sort of like Bonner in our county, you know. People underestimate. These guys are at the hurl as well. Oh, they think, oh, they're ball winners. That's why they're there. But you don't play at that level, club or county level, unless you're ready to play as well. And they showed in abundance their finishes, the way they could score, the way they could win ball. And ferociously, you know, determined as well. And Piercy were animated. Kieran Birmingham on the sideline, like, he was no shrinking violet either. He was in the players' faces. You saw when the first tackle went in, he was there on the sideline urging them on, you know. He got up
right till the end, Ken.
Right at the end,
he was the same way.
I saw that.
So it's something akin to what the Kilkenny boys be doing below. Like, to be driving, no matter if they were 25 ahead, to be go 26 ahead, and that's the way it panned out.
Yeah, absolutely. And TJ, Ken mentioned one man there, and I'm lucky enough to have him and just his brother as well. But for me, Conor Boylan really had a huge influence in terms of that dirty ball. Do you know, like, you're trying to decide man of the match, you're saying, is it Casey or David Dempsey? Do you know, 2-4, 2-2 from play, 2-4 from play, and Dempsey sets up the third goal for Breen, the fifth goal for Breen, you know,
correct.
Well. And you're saying it's a toss-up. But to me, like, you have to look at the likes of, I think Boylan only got a point near the end of it, if I'm right. But jeez, with the dirty ball he won, TJ. I mean, after the Doon penalty, even when maybe there was a few cheers from their crowd, and could we? No, we didn't really feel it because we knew they were dominant and most. Straight from that puck out, Bylan waved at Podge Kennedy, who, just before I go on, I'd like to congratulate, had a little baby that night.
That's right, that's right.
What a story, you know, kept goal to win. He's I don't know how many county medals Podge would have. He has a lot of them anyway.
Podge's in them all. Podge's got his six.
Right, yeah. That's fair going. And
six counties, yeah.
Like, but straight away, I could see Boylan with the hurley up. And, you know, grabbed us, turned, dragged down, and Will Hain taps on. And straight away, the goal is down to 2 points in the Gators. Dead fellas like that as well, hadn't they? And everyone mentioned the loss of Shane Dowling, and rightly so. What a player at Intercounty level. What a loss he is to Limerick. Now, we will talk about Doon's big men missing. Now, we speculated last week about Kevin Downs being missing as well, and we associate Downsy with sticking up the hand there. Yeah. And obviously, the cut was too bad on the finger, and he couldn't play. But for me, the likes of Boylan really came of age on Sunday. Now, that's very hard to say about a fella that has an All-Ireland under 21 medal, a Fitzgibbon Cup medal. Probably not fair, but for his club, we'll say, yeah.
Yeah, he's plenty of league games played for Limerick at this stage now as well, in fairness. But you're 100% correct. Like, that was a massive, like, when Doon get the goal, just to give you that slight glimmer of hope, right? Next ball, bang, catches it, wins a free, easy score back to 2-1. I suppose, look, as coaches, we'd all talk about that when we get a goal, you try to make it a 4-point goal because you want to get the next score to put in a little bit of daylight. And then on the other side of it, you're trying to negate it straight away to get a score back. But you could say that about all their big players there on Saturday night. Like Will O'Donoghue's opening quarter, the hits, one or two of the turnovers. Like you said, Tommy Grimes there in the middle of the field. You want David Dempsey in the game. You want Peter Casey in the game. You need Conor Boylan. You need Mike Casey in the game. And I said, to win counties. And they had them all. And so to go to the flip side then, like for Doon, like, The stash in their forwards doesn't read well at all, and they don't need me to remind them of that this morning, but it just didn't work for them. The game plans were similar enough there, that both teams were trying to keep their six backs shaped together, but then the use of the ball, like the first score there, Peter Casey got, Adrian Breen got, the ball from Alan Dempsey down underneath you, whipped into the centre forward position over the bar. Their use of the ball to hand was so crisp early, you could see they were in the zone. And when they're like that, they're just a strange animal. They can use the ball and move it so well. Their puck outs, their movement, their scoring. Yeah, not nice to be on the end of it. Like.
No, and we can talk about goals as well, TJ. And another big thing I would say for the Pierce League was, like, they didn't have them right at the start of the year, even maybe that Kilmallock game, was the return of Cathal King and Alan Dempsey there to that left side of defence. You know, absolute crucial. You can't buy experience in a county final, really, can you?
No, it's massive. Like, I remember even our own first county final, guys, back in 1987, we had, I think, three fellas in the full back line, I think, that made up an age of about 110 or something between the three of them, right? And again, everybody was worried about them, but they were probably our best line of the day because they were cool, they were experienced. And going back to what you were saying, like, really, really just comfortable on the ball, knew what they're about, proper defenders, and just the game plan kicked in very early doors. You could see it, they were just on the money.
Yeah, and the quality of the goals came, like, I mean, I said it in the commentary, Pat Ryan's first goal, I suppose the one that gave it the crucial bit of daylight after the first water break. I said, I don't think there was a goalie that I could remember, and I went back to Skeehan being the first kind of great I could remember on through other guys, up on through yourself, on through Brian now, who's the all-star keeper, could have possibly saved that goal. It must have gone half an inch inside the post and a half an inch under the crossbar.
And, you know, when you have the bit between the teeth, Dale, when you know you're going to do it, you know, you're coaching, TJ's coaching, you're always talking to the players and you're saying, you know, will I do it? No, you're going to do it. It's as simple as that. You've got to believe it's going to happen. If you're going to ping a ball 50 yards to a guy into his hand, if you don't believe you're going to do it, no matter how much skill you have, it's not going to happen unless you absolutely believe in it. And it was the same with Dempsey. Like, you know, coming through, skiding through. He had nothing else in his hand. There was a guy on his left-hand side, you know, that he could have offloaded to. But he had nothing else, like, to hit the underside of the crossbar and go back across and hit the other underside of the crossbar. Unbelievable finishes, you know, and just finish for his second goal in the very same way. And that's the credit he must get, you know, from the point of view of his ball-winning ability. In actual fact, he was pulled for a free, a questionable personal foul as well. It didn't bother him. It didn't faze him. He seems to be very strong mentally. And, you know, just like Loughmore Castellani, you're looking at John McGrath, centre forward yesterday. You're looking at Peter Casey at centre forward for the Piercy. like, I'm sure it's going through John Kiley's mind, Liam Sheedy's mind. Can these guys, you know, engineer a situation where they can play at 11 for their county teams? Can they orchestrate the whole, pull the strings there and orchestrate everything, you know? And that's the key note. Like, Peter Casey's a hugely intelligent player, and he's done a lot of damage now at both inter-county level, and he's coming now into a situation where he's reaching his peak. He knows he's at the peak of his powers, huge belief in himself, but also that brain, that instinctive and intuitive brain that he knows he can create opportunities. And like, it came up in abundance on Saturday night.
Yeah, and we know how good TJ, a goalkeeper, on McNamara is, like, and he really had no chance with the five goals, had he?
No chance. Like I said, they were just raining in there. The other players talk about very briefly, Dale, I suppose, when you'll take plenty of credit for, I'm sure, is Ronan Lynch. Like, he has
none can take a bit for him, would you believe? Okay. I thought you were going to say Jerome Boylan there for a minute.
Jerome was very good as well. But I think there was, is there six of the starting 15 from the Pearce with John Kiley at the moment? Like, could there be a case made for Ronan to be seven? Like, he didn't feature in the early part of the year in the panel. He's a defender that definitely has something to offer in terms of that, whether it's that Declan Hannan role or that centre-back role. His use of the ball is incredible. He is in that quarterback style, the way he plays.
So it's very similar to the Hannan role, TJ, wasn't it?
Very, very similar. Like, yeah, and like, with the possible questions about Declan Hannan going forward or whatever, like, is Ronan Lynch a potential replacement? I don't know what the lads' view on that would be, but certainly. But all over the pitch, to go back to what you were saying, these guys have showed the kind of violence they have, Dempsey, Peter Casey. They're above average. They're above your average club player. They will certainly feature in John Kiley's plans, and you will see them, and I've no doubt. At some
he's rolling on the panel, TJ, you know.
No, he's not, Ken.
And he might be perceived to lack a bit of pace, TJ, but he's a wonderful striker of the ball. And I mean, even the long distance frees, I know Limerick with Dermot Burns have a weapon in that, but I mean, this guy, I think, is even above that level in terms of scoring distance frees. In the first half, he was halfway between the 65 and 45, like, and stroked it over at his ease.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I think he has the skill set. I think he has the hurling. Yeah, maybe there's one or two questions. I'm sure the lads will definitely be having a look at him. He'll definitely be a question in their minds as to whether he's in there now. For me, like, is he in the best 32 or 35 hurlers in Limerick? I would have to say that he is, for sure.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of the system this year. We didn't want it. We didn't want it like that. And we see a few problems developing, and we can talk about that as well with cases spreading. But if fellas like him got a chance at the right time of the year to put themselves in the shop window, and that's amazing as well. TJ, for Doon, the long, eternal, and Kildangan had it up to yesterday as well, and they just have to stay at it. But for a team, like we'd say, that have been in seven of the last 10 Premier under 21 finals, it's just, it should be there for them at this stage. Now, look, if you told me at the start of the year that Doon would beat Kilmallock and go into a county final down Richie English and Darragh Donovan, I wouldn't have believed you, to be honest. So maybe it has to be put in perspective that they wouldn't have, I'm not saying the quality, but the kind of guys would say, like, Adam McNamara did a great job replacing Kevin Downs. Was probably easy for him, though. They were that dominant. And they had Kieran Kennedy to bring in at the other end of the field as well, and rejig, you know. So for me, but just could Doon replace those two with anything similar? I'm not so sure they could.
Yeah, like the other two chip leaders, without a doubt. And without them getting to a county final, it was always going to be difficult. And look, like anytime any club gets to a county final, it should be perceived as being a very good year. Unfortunately for them, now with the way the game panned out and being on national TV, like, they would be very low this morning. But look, I got a bit of stick there last week for maybe saying about questioning Doon's mentality and their drive and losing that lead against Partick as well. What I actually was saying about Doon was, I'm crediting them. I'm involved in Borden Road and Gary Spillan. What Doon are doing, Delo, is very good. They are the one club who can match the Pearcy, get underage in all those grades, playing Premier. They're doing it. They've won the last two Premier under 21 titles. They won this year and they won it last year. They're providing a host of players for the county, as I've said. So there is a missing link. Maybe some of the guys are falling off the ladder too quick when they're getting to 21. I don't know, because they had plenty of young fellas playing. They're definitely doing an awful lot right. They will win a county. Today they'll be low, but doing an awful lot right. Like, what more can I say about them? I probably would question tactically some of the matchups that they had on the day. I'd question the way they went about it. I saw one or two balls. I knew Ronan Lynch was going to sit in the pocket. I'm sure they did as well. And I don't know whether that's, did they just lose kind of that little bit of focus early doors? They just popped two balls into him and then their game plan didn't kick in and they didn't get the scores from their forwards and then it just went belly up after that and it just ran out a really, really poor outing for them. They're better than that. I mean, they are providing, as I said, plenty of players. So, yeah, they'll have questions to ask themselves as to where they go from here. But look, they're doing a huge amount right. They have a piece of the jigsaw to fix. And if they can fix that, I'm sure they'll be successful down the road.
Yeah, I'd be familiar with a lot of them, as I said, for my couple of years. And they seem like a place that's fanatical on the game, you know, maybe to the point of where they're, you know, they've seen all the underage success. They've seen the near misses and that in it. It's just that little edge, and I suppose we can kind of mention Kildangan in the same breath in some ways, that they had just have no choice but to persevere. And as you said, they will win it. I think they will win it. There's no doubt
about it. If you said to me back in, I think they were beaten in the final in 2000 as well. If you said to me back then that like Doon were coming, I've seen them underage in the schools and what they're doing up there is incredible. They really are chip leaders of the underage. I will agree with you. They will win it at some stage along the way. They have one or two pieces to fix. I think it's fixed that. I'll go back to what you said at the start here. To be missing two players and two leaders like Richie English and Darragh Donovan, heading for a county final, trying to win your first. Like, we will talk about Kildangan in a while, but I was involved in the team in Guy's Bland that won our first county. It does play in your mind going down the stretch. Like, history and culture and all those things come into play. It is so, so hard to get over the line. And it's, at times like that, is you need the bigger boys. And unfortunately, I know Kevin Downs and Shane Dowley were missing on the Pearshick side. But to me, the two boys were a bigger loss to Doon than the two boys in the Pearshick. And that's no slight on the boys.
Yeah. Look, it's hard going for the men in red and white this morning. And that scoreline just doesn't do them any justice, really. But it does do justice to the quality of the Pearshick, we'd have to say. And good few people, Brian MacDonald there in the Nina Gargin. Is it Nina Gargin, Larry, do you call it down there?
Nina Gargin, yeah.
Brian
was in the
Tipstar. He's just tweeting me. He says, Dale, is there any way in the podcast there you could organise to get the Examiner maybe or somebody to come in and sponsor a Munster club? The GAA probably just wouldn't allow it anyway, but God, like, it would be steaming up to be some Munster club with some of the stuff we're seeing, like with the Ballygunner, with the championship in the bag, with the Napiercig, with Kildangan, and the winners in Cork now. Even if the college win it, but it looks like it might be a club team this year. You know, you would have serious quality in Clare as well. 6 Mile Bridge would be strong favourites. Jesus.
Talk to Tony. To be fair to the Pearshick and possibly Ballygunner in Waterford, like, these guys have raised the standard in the county now, right? If you go to the facilities, go into the Pearshick, look at the clubhouse, the pitches, what they're doing, they've raised the bar significantly here, which is good for club hurling. Yeah, it might be difficult right now because other clubs have got to step up now and go and have rattled off these boys over the next 3, 4, 5 years, which is going to be difficult. They're still really, really strong at underage. They have all the facilities, they have the population, but you could say an awful lot of our clubs have that too, and they're not doing it. But these boys are raising the bar. Ballygunner are doing it in Waterford. Someone told me that Ballygunner will win 7 more, right? The way they're going. But it's up to the other guys rather than complain and whinge about it. You know what I said about those guys complaining? They're all, you have to get up there, raise your standards, and get after it.
Yeah, we're a bit like that in Clarecastle at the moment. We have all the facilities. But we did win. We beat Kilmaley in the 14B final yesterday now with 14 and Clare's bad competitive. Fantastic A final the previous day. But just a little shout out to the lads and Eilish, my wife's nephew James, who was on the losing side for Kilmaley, but played well. It's great to see the joy that we might have had no GAA season and to see under 14s there yesterday and what it meant to them. And it's a credit to the association, really. So, yeah, we leave Limerick there. Great champions back again. And what a success story they have been since they came to the fore. And it doesn't look like... I know there might be a small drift off, TJ, and they're underage. But they still have, you know... I look at a fellow like Emmett McAvoy, who I had coming up along, didn't even get a run yesterday. So they still have youth on their side in terms of the way Donoghue is starting to dominate. I mean, if I was John Kiley now, you'd be saying, and you mentioned that there came... Like, midfield has kind of been Cian Lynch and someone else, hasn't it? And it's been Darragh Donovan, it's been Will, it could be someone else. Jesus, Will looks to me to be any inter-county team at the moment would say this is a tour de force, especially maybe facing into a winter All-Ireland, like, you know, where I'm not saying he's not slow in any way at all. Like, geez, for me, he has it all at the moment in terms of power. And
already, I think in that league campaign, I felt that Will O'Donoghue nearly had nailed that place in the middle of the field beside Keane. So yeah. I'd say John Kiely will have no qualms about letting Will in there because he has the aggression that you need at that level as well. He has it in abundance. And from that point of view, like, I mean, John Kiely, we know he has, you know, a luxury of...
It looks like the perfect trade off then with himself and Keane Lynch as well. Keane in terms of a fella sitting and holding the fort and protecting the half back line, and Lynch then the free spirit, the wizard, let off to do his thing, you know.
He's nearly in the McFenley mode, the kind of player, isn't he? Like which is what you want. As I said, in the opening exchanges of the county final. And also in the Pearshing, believe it or not, they were beaten in the intermediate final by Newcastle West at the weekend. That was on Sunday, the day after extra time. So that was their second team at the intermediate grade. So yeah, plenty players still there. So yeah, really going for it.
Yeah, fair play and hats off to them. And as I said, we're just sorry it's finishing in terms of seeing their quality, but I suppose John Kiely needs a chance now, like everybody else, to get his men in order for the upcoming. Ken, you'd a marvellous weekend. I know from a Laura point of view, not what you wanted, and you were right there, Ken. Saturday, I actually didn't see it, but I listened to it. I was caught traveling from Avenue to Avenue, and I listened to Tip FM though, and great commentary from the lads. And I have to call it yesterday as well. I had him on while I was watching TG Carr. Poor sign of my Irish, Ken. If you had ever got me to Templemore, you'd have sorted out that obviously. Because what I noticed since every time I meet up with Ali Baker now, he starts talking Irish to me, you know. So you're doing a good job on the Irish there, fair play. But no, look, you were right there, Ken. Even up to the last water break, you had it back to the goal. And then a certain wizard stepped up to the plate and produced two goals that we didn't see being Mr. Rowan Kelly rolling back the years. I think someone mentioned the figure of 38. And I text Niall Gilligan last night, and Gilligan kind of came back to me and said, he's only a young fella, sure. So, like, kept doing it till he was 40, like, so. But
it was a brilliant day, beautiful weather. Walked in. The funny thing that struck me, I walked in, you know, obviously. I parked the car and I came around by the stadium, the outside pitch in the stadium, and there was a lot of noise going on. And I thought it was a blitz on. And then I looked in through the small doors, you know, out there on the outside pitch. And Mullaghone were actually warming up there. They didn't go up to the Morris Park, which is a traditional place for the teams to warm up. They were there. And I met a Mullaghone man and chatted to him. And he said, best of luck to Laura. And I said, best of luck to yourselves. May the best team win. But he said, oh, Ken, he said, you know, we had a bereavement during the week. You know, the goalkeeper's dad and all the rest. And I said, oh, here. I said, sorry to hear that, but I knew the lads of the cause because I knew by the noise in the warm-up, I knew by the drive that was going into the warm-up, you could hear it all over around the stadium. So then I went in and met Liam Sheedy on the way up, and he was going up to watch the match, obviously, and Liam said, how do you think you're fixing? The amazing thing about it, like, we spoke about naivety, and it did come to the fore a little bit because John McIntyre has done a wonderful job with us. He came back from Galway. When we were on our knees in the early 2000s, he came back and eventually we got back up senior. And my last day out in a Laura jersey, and then we had a situation where he came back this year after a lot of persuasion because, you know, he's a busy man and to travel out from Galway City, you know, it's not simple, but he had done an absolutely fantastic job. And he had a team playing. We were engaged in a lot of high scoring contests throughout the year. We were playing with a certain naivety, and there was nothing wrong with that because really it was the experience of Mullaghone against the exuberance of Laura.
And you were coming up to the final, Ken, can I just say to you, not to be cutting in on you, and sorry, apologies now, and Jesus, John, what a hurling man he is, but you were scoring an awful lot coming into it.
Yeah, we were high scoring stakes, you know, with Colin Fogarty, the young county minor there, with three Fogarty brothers playing. You know, and then Keane and Bonner as well on the half forward line, you know, coming in and out. We were engaged in a lot of high scoring contests. I suppose it was come down to a situation of how were we going to curb the amount of scores that we were leaking, you know. And that was through no fault of anyone. It was just the style of play we had. with the Max in the middle of the field as well. We played a very high pressing attack and style. But you mentioned about the pocket and Ronan Lynch in the pocket and John Maher yesterday and Alan Flynn as well, you know, and Dave Sweeney. You know, you've got to look after your back line. And, you know, we just got caught in that situation where we went for the high scoring stakes, chased the game a lot. Sean Curran, Jack Shelley, huge interchange. You know, Brian was playing at centre back. He was chasing shadows across the pitch, over and back. And when you see your centre back out on the sideline under the stands, you know you're in a bit of bother, you know, because I'm sure your coaching strategy when you were playing would be the same as mine. You know, you must hold the middle. You must protect your full back line. Owen was out of the game, funny enough, for major part. And I only listened to a podcast, funny enough, by accident there in the last few weeks. Steve McDonald, the Armagh forward. And he was asked, you know, what's the greatest trait of a full forward? And the funny thing he said was it had nothing to do with sport. It was patience, he said. Patience. And Owen Kelly showed that in abundance. It wasn't working out for him for cigars an hour. He was deadly as usual on the freeze. But when he got the chance, you know, I could see it happening. When he got that ball, Mikey O'Shea did brilliantly because he was fouled. He was almost on the ground and it was a beautiful flick pass over to Owen. And Owen had nothing to lose. He had a free already, 21 yards out, and he buried it, you know. And
yeah, then, that came across from Stephen Gleeson that he... But that was awareness as well to know I have the free. I won't tap it over the bar and just be the same as the free.
Yeah.
I'll rifle this to the corner. Like, you know, that's...
Yeah. And it rattled Laura because of Laura's youth, you know, we have 200 yards in the full back line and things like that, and they played very well. But it just rattled us from the point of view that the ball came back in again, landed in no man's land between goalkeeper and full back line. And Owen, of course, as what a great trade of his, catching the ball in the chest. The ball just landed in his cupped hand in the chest. And he turned and twisted twice. He didn't throw it up. He knew he'd get caught. And he stuck it, hopped it off the ground into the corner net. Again, another fabulous goal. And those two moments of magic really, you know, changed the game. Was the difference, really. And, you know, I met Owen afterwards. It was like he had won his first ever championship medal. You know, he was absolutely thrilled. He was captain of the team. But from everybody's point of view, the spectacle of the game was, it was an unbelievable game. And I have to say about Laura, you know, and, which is typical of John Mack's teams, absolute passion, never stopped working. Goalkeeper, Young Walsh made a great save from Colin Forty near the end. It could have changed it. Brian hit the post with a rocket as well. These things in happening county finals that can sway or change a game. But the Corns again, you know, three
Paul, Corns. I wanted to ask you about Paul, Ken. I mean, he got great praise. Stephen Gleeson's commentary was excellent. Both his co-commentators on the days were superb.
Paul Jenkins is actually commentating that match. Paul Jenkins.
Sorry. Was that? Yeah. Limerick. And was it two? And, was it, who's the co-commentator then on that? Is it
Dennis Kelly? Dennis Kelly from Barry, yeah. Dennis Kelly.
Tomb, yeah, Dennis. Yeah, they were they gave great insight. Like it's a little, yeah. You know, when you're listening to the radio, the little insights that they give on what they think might happen and what might influence is great. And I mean, Paul again. I mean, we don't associate Paul with catching a high ball, dancing out, and clearing it 90 yards. The Rock Sullivan or Lohan or that, we associate Paul with kind of that pure form of defending. You know, what a defender.
Probably leaner now, Delo, than he was even when he was playing. You saw how lean he was when he was playing. He's in such immaculate condition. And then you had Sean, his brother in the middle of the field, got mad at the match, I think 6 points of play, who suffered, you know, a serious crucial injury. And I'd have to mention Jack Shelley, who was an All-Ireland minor winner, who got two serious crucial ligament injuries. Probably would have played senior hurling with Tipperary only for the setbacks he's received. You see, they had the aces in the pack. And, you know, but fantastic spectacle. Really hard sporting game. But great to see the teams afterwards, you know, mingling. And for Laura to play in Simpa Stadium, you know, two weekends, pitch in absolutely immaculate condition. To play at the top level with the top teams. And Mullinahone, the half and All-Ireland Sevenses for nothing, the half and County Championships.
Oh, yeah.
And Owen mentioned as well in his speech, South Champions as well, you know, South Senior Ireland Champions. So they have a proud legacy there. And I think the experience for us is that the appetite and the hunger, as TJ mentioned, you know, you've got to have that thirst to come back again, like Killadangan or the Dunes. You've got to get back there into that big play again.
Yeah, and just on that, Ken, would John Curran be somebody who'd be pushing maybe to Liam to have a look? We're on about John Kiley maybe looking at a Ronan Lynch type player. He was a county man, like, you know, would he be in that sort of form now?
Yeah, with Sean. Sean's in great form. Sean has just, you know, Paul, it's like brothers. Paul got the run. He got the run on it. And, you know, it was such a stalwart. Sean Corn, I had him at 21 level, top-notch player, top-notch attitude, very smart as well, very bright hurler. Just has been dogged with their injuries at the wrong time. Like a man we're going to mention in a few minutes' time, John Maher of Loughmore Castellani. Injuries can play its part, as you well know. If you don't get the break, and Sean just didn't get the break, you know, and he has been he was on the 216 panel, obviously, with Mick Ryan, but he just hasn't got the break at the right time, and he has, there's no doubt about it, Anthony, he has the quality.
Yeah, yeah. And TJ, did you ever win one late, or one that meant a bit to you, that you thought, I'm finished winning things now, or did it all just happen at the right time for TJ Ryan? Like, and no, it was onto the flash jackets.
No, I wouldn't say that. No, we unfortunately haven't had the pleasure of playing too many county finals. We lost one late in 2004 before we won one, and that is crushing. I'm probably more used to the other side of it than winning one late. So you see, at the end of the game, yes, I suppose we talked about Loughmore boys in a while, but it meant to the guys to lose, and it's just such. Jesus, it's such a low place to be this morning. Like, yeah, it's so hard to get to a final. So much work goes into from the start of the year to get everything right. And then such small things there, as Ken said, it could be a post. It could be just the wrong decision at the wrong time. It could be a stroke of genius on the far side. Like Owen Kelly's goals there. I think I saw a clip on Twitter last night of him scoring a similar goal about 8 or 10 years ago. And it was the same move and the same jink and a similar finish. Like, so this has proved that the class truly is permanent. But no, I'd be more used to on the other side of it. It's so crushing. Like, some of those guys would be as low as a snake's belly this morning, and it's just hard. Nothing you can say to them. And just to go into a dressing room there, like you probably have seen it, go into a dressing room that's actually, you're having to give them a crushing defeat too, which is a hard place to go.
Oh, it's murder. Ken, just lastly on it, you know, there would be people that were saying, and I had given a tiny hint to Tralee Parnells in Kerry this year, who knew club, and they got to the intermediate final. Now, intermediate in Kerry, the standard would be a little bit down on what we'd be, you know, the great senior final yesterday. Watched that, streamed that, made my contribution yesterday to the Kerry County Board. I've given them all a twist, Larry, but it'll be in the expenses. But but what I would have felt with them was that maybe they might be as well off not winning it yesterday in long term, because they were very young, and, you know, they were very much building from they're only a young club, 6 or 7 years old. And but for yourselves, is that would be the case as well, I suppose, overall. And there's probably a good bit more left in the banner, hopefully, club level anyway. And but then I look at it, and the Seamus O'Regan is so competitive as well. You know, Newport would have had big designs on it, and like, going up, would it have been too much of a step, or are you as well off maybe to be? That's never a case today after.
John Mack's maiden year, right? Yes. First year in back. He didn't know any of the players. Barry's two nephews, he wouldn't have known the players, Bear, maybe Bonner and Brian and things like that. But the thing about it is, John came in, he brought a new total professional setup. He brought in a good management team, smart men, great Laura men in with him. Bonner's uncle, Eamon Maher, Martin Young, James O'Mara. I think the key thing for us, it revived the club. We contested the under-12 North semi-final. We contested the under-14 against Ross Gray North final. And we won the under-16 North B against Moneygall, which was a great victory, and lost narrowly to the county champions, Borland, in the under-16 county semi-final. So over in the field, and I mentioned this before to you, over in the field, there's a huge buzz around the parish. A lot of work has been done. We had a huge fundraiser before COVID. I think the COVID disrupted our situation a little bit, in a sense, in that John had put so much effort into it. That 3 month disruption, in actual fact, I think if he had had more time even to work with us, he would have got to know maybe the chinks in the armour and things like that. Mulnahone, you've got to hand it to him. You know, they were streetwise, they knew what they were about. They have played at the top level that you have mentioned. They have been in the Danbreen all along and contested strongly for it. So from our perspective, we have just got to be in a situation where we got to know what we're doing next. You know what I mean? And from that point of view, I feel that we've got to progress. Keep Mac there at the helm. And I think, as you mentioned, Newport, huge progress. The Temple Derrys, the Port Rose, the top teams there, they have been thereabouts. Newport, massive progress. It's going to be very competitive again next year. You've got to come back. Monaghan, it's a worry from with Owen Kelly, obviously, and Paul Curran at the other end of the scale, in the fact that where their experience lies. But they have young fellas coming through as well. Monaghan will always survive. They know what it's all about. For us, it was a learning curve, and I think it's only more improvement we'll make.
Dello
has froze there.
Just doesn't want to talk about Tip. Like, I've noticed that all year. Like, just real up there.
It's a constant crunch.
Yeah.
We'll not to have to sneak into Murphy's there for us to see if it was open, no?
No, it's not. The kegs are being delivered as we speak, TJ. Okay, I can hear them banging off.
Okay, that's good.
1 o'clock. One o'clock, the door's open. So, I was kind of looking forward to that from about 3 o'clock, like, for a few hours, you know? And lads, we spoke, I suppose, and we said it earlier about the excellence of the Kilkenny semi-final. But for drama alone and for tension and for desire and for a game that had it all, and I was doing my notes as I was watching it, Ken, and I had probably the first 10 minutes I had down tense and tight, you know, Kildangan wides adding up, and then Evan Sweeney's goal 1-3 to 6 points at the water break. You wouldn't really have foreseen what we were going to get afterwards at that stage. Like,
yeah, funny enough, like, I went to Turtles yesterday. Obviously, the humour wasn't great, like, yesterday morning when I woke up and the head was a bit groggy. And, you know, you were saying, Jesus Christ. But I knew there was something special going to happen. I just had that feeling in my bones, you know, that I headed off to Turtles and, you know, went into the match. And you could feel there was something imminent. Loughmore Castellani, you know, an amazing club. Warming up, you know, they're actually under the stand out of the heat. Typical country lads, smart out. You know, Kildangan were out, enthusiastic on the pitch, but it did start off like that. But it was just Kildangan's flair, their 6 forwards, they had the flair. They needed to get scores on the board, and they did get scores on the board. But then Sweeney hit them with the goal, rattled them a bit. Then the wides count started to tally. And at the water break, then there was that sense that, well, this is going to be a game because Loughmore have come to win this. There's no such thing as them handing the, you know, the party role to Kildangan to display their wares. So from that perspective, I think after that, it was absolutely unbelievable. The high-octane stuff, the way the boat went at each other, and the sheer brilliance of the goals that Loughmore manufactured, but also the perseverance of the Kildangan team to stay going, to regroup and keep tagging over the pints, even when they were hit with those sucker punches.
Yeah, and like, you know, TJ, you probably saw it, like, that the goals, John McGrath wasn't really in it. In fairness, some that had a system for him, I think, with Ty Gallagher sitting deep and David Sweeney allowed to go with him, and it was working. And now, you couldn't really blame David Sweeney for the goal, because who'd have seen the pass back that he got? I think it was Ty Gallagher, maybe, or no, it was
Kieran McGrath.
It was Kieran, the full forward, probably had his own chance after Sweeney's run. Yeah. But then he billowed in it, as John McGrath does, and you're saying, geez, 3 goals, like 3-3 to 8 points. You're saying, is it going to be the same old story for Kildangan, Teej?
I know, like, in fairness, a lot more their economics with possession early on was unbelievable to get the scores, like, little or no wides, got the 3 goals, kept them in the game. And you felt at that time that Kildangan were the better game. But again, to go back to the quality of this club game, TG4 beaming it into our homes, the pitch, the facilities, the condition of the players, what another advertisement for a club game. Unbelievable. But great tension. Everyone kind of edged their seats, definitely looking in to see what was going to happen next. The quality on show, and Paul Flynn's points for Kildangan, just a joy to watch. Just unbelievable. But the McGraths just bring that, I don't know what it is still, that stuff that you can coach. They just, every time they're on the ball, they're trying to make things happen. But again, just a brilliant game to watch. You were, I suppose, waiting for Kildangan to get this goal, but the longer the game went on, you kind of felt that Loughmore, their defence was really, really holding out. They weren't giving up the chances and things were going their way. I felt watching the game that Kildangan were probably the better team in the 60 minutes, but I didn't felt that as it headed into extra time, that I felt that this game was really swinging towards Loughmore. They were the better team. But that's just me watching it. Right?
Yeah, and like, one of the things, Ken, in front of the old stand, as we'd know it as, you know, was the battle between Alan Flynn and Noel McGrath there along. And both of them flourished, but you'd say Flynn probably, from the wing-back point of view, really was a launch pad for them there, and what scores he contributed as well.
Oh, unbelievable. And I think, in fairness, you know, the McGraths have been lauded before, but, you know, Mike Flynn, he'd be the father of the lads. They're farmers, you know, good farmers, and strong-willed and determined. And Alan is teaching above in Newbridge, and Paul is on the farm. And Paul has been thereabouts with the county. Alan has featured and probably made appearances last year with Tip, you know, in the 2019 All-Ireland campaign. But when Kildangan needed leaders, the two Flynns stood up. And I say that without hesitation. I don't mind mentioning their two names, because Alan and Paul, they were needed badly. Things were under the cosh. It didn't look like their day. The Kildangan support had quietened. But by God, they came up trumps. Unbelievable scores. Paul Flynn's pints off left and right. But Alan then, to keep hanging in with Noel, to break the burst forward, and in actual fact, in the last play of the game as well, to win the free, to equalise the game as well. He was up there, broke onto the ball, sidestepped his man, took the free. It showed marvellous steel in their game, as well as the ability to have to play.
And when you're that long clinging for a title and a third final, I think, in 5 years, you need the guys with that bit of inter-county experience and minor 21 experience. And they really stepped up from, and like Billy Seymour at times struggled with the freeze, but like they all came good. No, look, I don't think I've ever felt as sorry for a team as Loughmore at a final whistle. And you know, they just, even John not in the game, when they moved him inside in, then she came good, like, didn't she? You just can't. I wrote down, you just can't keep a great man down. Like,
no, so we're unbelievable. Yeah, go on, PJ. Sorry, innovate, like, you know, they'll switch in. Kieran McGrath went outside, and Kieran McGrath's in the autumn of his career. That'd be his own admission himself, you know. Liam McGrath's travelling to Australia. Liam's the county football captain last year, and also has scored goals in county finals to win at senior level for Loughmore, the last county final. And they, you know, Loughmore depends so much on the people. You mentioned about the rural parish. Every player counts in that setup. I mean, the pint that Tommy Maher got, he was only on the pitch. He came onto the pitch. And he ran straight through, and a magnificent pint in extra time for Loughmore. That's the spirit they have. That's the know-how, and they can innovate in different situations. John going into full, but I think the whole components of the game was about the mental strength of both teams. Loughmore really tested what Kildangan were all about, and Kildangan passed that test. They kept at it. The heads didn't go down. I'm sure Sean Tracy and John Meskell and Brian Lawler as manager, and Darry Egan in the background, they had instilled this, lads, be prepared for every eventuality, because by God, did they get hit with sucker punches yesterday.
Yeah, and that's important, Ken, because I just from my own experience, going down the stretch, it does play with your mind, and you need to be really well versed in all that. But what I was going to say is, talk about John Maher for a second. Just what a performance. And
outstanding, I was going to say.
Unbelievable stuff, like, yeah. Where is he in the Tip setup? I know Ken just touched briefly on, he had a few injuries at maybe wrong times, but just looked a phenomenal player yesterday.
John Maher is an unbelievable guy, a great player. He has obviously dual status, an outstanding inter-county football fullback, would play on the best. He has had serious trouble with his hamstrings, TJ.
Right.
Something like Lair a number of years ago. He kept breaking down in training. Now, he went back into a situation where he went back into the Tipperary football setup with these injuries. And Ian Dowling, the former Munster player, Heineken Cup winner, was the physiotherapist with Tipperary footballers. And I suppose with the football situation, that intensity isn't there. They had a bit more patience with him. And John rehabbed under Ian Dowling. And thank God he's come through with flying colours. Now, it's not today or yesterday, TJ, we've been talking about John Maher. John Maher, oh. I'm trying to figure out his age. I think I might have had him last year under 21. He may have been around a bit. So I think he's 26 this year. I think he could be 26. That's all he is. A marvellous character as well. Brilliant musician. Brilliant raconteur of recitations, things like that. One of those people. But he's been brilliant all year. And we were saying, how is he going to react yesterday under severe pressure from Kildangan with their six forwards flying around this? He was absolutely out of this world. Out of this world. And I just said, I mentioned yesterday on local radio after the game, I think he could be the first dual player back in the scene again, TJ, because
he was just so good.
But the Mahers are huge, proud football people. He will not let down the football set up because they are born and ingrained in Tipperary football and Loughmore Castleknight football. So I think, obviously, Liam and his management team cannot ignore John, but the situation is, where does it all fit into this category of what's going to happen in the next couple of months? Has he the time to play both? I don't know, but he's a top-notch player. Any county would be thrilled to have him, TJ.
Yeah, certainly. And like for John Kiley and Liam Sheedy, there's definitely going to be discussions, certainly among their management teams, as to who they invite in. And some of the 15 and 15s could be interested in going forward. Dello, I'm sure you have to touch on Noel McGrath there for a second and that sweet strike off the left and the sideline. He just had missed one that you probably would have put every bob you have, house the whole lot on in 60 minutes. But like at the same time, the one that's flicked back to him there on the sideline, what a score.
Yeah, it was nearly an only Noel moment. Like, they just no backswing, no backlift, as they say. Watching the golf last night, you know, and run about the different swings. And he did, like, how he finds the distance from the economy of the swing is incredible. And what an incredible player. And I thought there was a moment, lads, and we'll cut to the chase in a minute about the drama at the end. I thought there was a moment in extra time, Ken, where Brian McGrath thundered into the game as well. Do you know, he really thundered into the game, I felt, and he was covering the half-back line. But he won a massive free, and John missed it, and you were there, oh, geez, you didn't expect John to miss it. And, you know, it was 45 yards out, you know, fairly central. And straight away from the puck out, Alan Flynn won a free, and they levelled it. And I said, that's the turning point. It was such an epic that you think that would decide most games. But sure, Jesus, it wasn't half the drama that was to come after that. Like, you know, I said Tommy Maher is the hero. Then I wrote down to do my notes. No, Brian McLaughlin is the hero. He got a point and another point. And I mean, take for instance, I mean, that frame of mind that Kildangan must have been in, that Brian wasn't in the game at all, really, was outplayed. And to come on and be the hero and be the toast of Kildangan today with their pubs or wet pubs reopening again. I don't know if there are too many of them out there.
They'll have enough.
Yeah, but I mean, that shows you a great... I mean, a lot of guys taking off like that, Doc Kin, they'd sulk and their head would be down and they'd do nothing bring them back on. But obviously this fella, his frame of mind was incredible.
He comes from the famous McLaughlin family. Pat McLaughlin, of course, two-time All-Star goalkeeper, a hero of mine. And from the Shannon Rovers, though, but his father Martin would have been a great player and his uncle Jim. But the McLaughlins would have a great mentality and be very, very well. The attitude would be spot on. But I was actually down. I did benefit yesterday, I was telling Larry beforehand, of being down, able to watch the match, hear the clashes behind the both backroom teams, and then hop up for the analysis at half time and full time. So I was looking in the sense that I could sense what was going on. I saw Brian, he came back up and he had his head in his hands. You know, he was disappointed, obviously, with himself. But it was a marvellous bit of intuition from the backroom team in Kildangan that Rory Gleeson was there, Kieran Kelly was there. They could have been brought in, two good forwards as well, two guys that could have contributed. But no, they went. Willie Connors had tired. They went for a big move that brought McLaughlin back in. I mean, to score 1-2 in extra time was absolutely unbelievable stuff, you know, the stuff of dreams. But the way he was so clinical in the way he scored his points and the way he finished his goal, I mean, it just is a lesson to every player. Never get downhearted. Never think that it's your time is up. Keep at it. Sustain there. And he had the mental strength and the ability then in the wrists to finish the job, which, of course, the Kildangan management team knew he had in abundance.
Yeah, and it just throws back to what you said about Owen Kelly and Stevie McDonald, like about patience, and then it did happen. Let me take you back, Dodd, just to the initial drama. Like Barry didn't really deal with the situation to give away the 65 so good. He tried to roll lift it, and it didn't come up clean. He got hooshed out for the 65. So John is standing over the 65. We tick over the minutes injury time. But Barry has another slitter in his hand, and Now, I spoke to a Knicks teammate of yours last night. Well, I didn't speak to him, but we did an exchange on WhatsApp about it because he's going to be watching everything. And we had been talking about the Limerick final as well the night before. And he says to me, Dale, I'm not so sure. Like, he said, he poked out the ball, then the whistle blew. And I thought some of the Loughmore players thought it was the full-time whistle. And they sort of maybe stall for that split second. And I think, was it Joe Gallagher won possession? And went in, and like, I mean, was it a little bit controversial? You couldn't take it off him now. You couldn't take it off him with the performance, 128, after being hit with three soccer goals. Was there any sense of that around the ground afterwards?
Around the ground, but I copped it straight away. So I presume with my knowledge, I'm sure there's people with more knowledge than me, but I copped it straight away, and that's why it was close to the action. There's a number of things you have to think about here. One, you know, again, for a player, Barry, to knock it out for 65, and he's saying, oh, holy God, look what's after happening. And John slams it over the bar. Super pint. But again, we have to take the Gary Egan factor into play here again as a coach and as a goalkeeping coach. I'm sure Dara would have discussed this so many times with Barry and other goalkeepers that you must have a ball ready. You must have a ball ready for the puck out. So he had the intuition to know that John was going to score the pint or drive it wide, went over the bar. But he also had the know-how, you know, to say, here it is, time is up. Off I go. Launch one big puck out. As he pucked the ball out, Michael Kennedy, the referee, I actually saw Michael Kennedy because we were all watching the referee, by the way. He was jogging down and he had his back to Barry Hogan. The ball was in mid-air. He blew the whistle very strongly, actually. It was like a final whistle type whistle. Now he blew the whistle for the puck out. Definitely, Dalo, in Loughmore's defence, they may have thought the human factor came into play. The game is over. But Joe Gallagher, who's a very unassuming personality, and Joe, I mentioned Joe, you know, at full time and before extra time, I mentioned him. Joe Gallagher, we haven't seen Joe yet because he is their spiritual leader. But Joe's one of those anonymous guys that'll slip in and slip out. He's not looking, or he's not waving the hurley looking for the ball. But he actually caught the ball. There was nobody near him, Anthony.
Amazing, Ken.
It was a non-contested ball. Ball. Nobody was even within yards of him. He caught it on his own, which meant there was some stoppage and some hesitation in the Loughmore, obviously, backline's psyche that just said, it's over. But when Joe caught it, he headed for goals. He shrugged off two tackles and passed it over his shoulder to Brian Mulochney, and the rest is history. But the sheer shock afterwards of the game and the way it went, in fairness to the Loughmore Castellani players, you know, there was no such thing, there was no controversy, nobody approached the referee after the game because everybody was in a state of shock, you know, at what had happened. We were all in bewilderment the way the game finished. So from that point of view, on the day, there was no controversy. Loughmore Castellani are that type of people. But definitely there was a hesitation there in Barry poking the ball out just a split second or two before the whistle went.
Yeah, and because TG Carr had the Mayo final meant to be live as well, they nearly cut straight across to Mayo because of the extra time and all, so we didn't get to see. But I would have no doubt the type of people they are. But TJ, it was one of the things we focused on this podcast that this year, since the referees came back after the lockdown, that they were allowing the quick puck outs, and we were delighted with it. You know, we can point to a million things. You know, I'm not taking away from Kildangan at all. I know what they've gone through to get to this stage, but just the scenes at the final whistle, we only got to see them briefly, but I looked at David Kennedy. What a servant for his club, his county, football, hurling, for Kildare. When he was up there, he gave them a hand. But stayed with his club, and to see him inside in the goal at the end, only beaten once, and like young McLaughlin could have taken the point and gone to penalties, but yeah. to see and they have to get up off that ground, TJ, and face into a football final next weekend.
I know that might be good for him in a strange way once maybe get over today, but it's difficult. I suppose first of all you'd have to give Brian McLaughlin huge credit. Like, he had the kahunas to go for it, Dillo. It would have been the easy option to kind of make it level and take it on. Like, you'd imagine today going through there, that had been saved. Everybody would have been saying, why didn't you just knock it over the bar and go to penalties? Brilliant finish from him. But I do take what you're saying there with referees. I do try to check with referee before most games. Look, today, what's the story? Like, can we go on a wide ball? Are we waiting for a whistle on the score? But there's so much inconsistency there in a game. And overall, it's definitely one of the points I think that will come up heading down towards the end of the county game. Because at the end of the day, when your goalie has the ball, you have possession there. You want to use that in a way that suits your team. So a clear direction from the referee is important. But don't take away from Malachny. Like, what an introduction back in. 1-2. Like, he can be the hero here. Like that's right or over stuff. Like, to win your first county, he will never, ever be forgotten. No.
Gallagher, we can't forget Joe Gallagher, lads.
Yeah, Joe Gallagher is a
savage servant. He's the leader of that gang. He leads by example on and off the pitch. Tighe, his brother, played very well. But Joe Gallagher, coming to the hour, coming to the man. He stuck the hand up. He caught the ball. He's taken more punishment than any Kildangan player in the quest for this championship over the last 10 years. And he was the man with the cool head to take the ball, head for goals, and to give the killer pass. And no man deserves it better than Joe. He's had his medical problems in the last year or so. He had to have corrective surgery, and he came back. He could have sat at home and said, I'm not risking my health for this. But it wasn't going to happen without Joe Gallagher. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, and we're not taking away an ounce from Kildangan. And I think the Egan family would have gone to school with Cullum in Flannans. Cahill transferred to Clooney Quinn and hurled massive club hurling for Clooney Quinn up here and was a brilliant player for them. And Dara, I know over the last few years, and they have given an off. I know Cullum is based in the States. Had a great evening with him actually after the GAA conference, and he was on about Kildangan and watch it, Dalo, we're going to make the breakthrough. And so it's great to see a club winning their first ever heartbreak for Loughmore, but first ever, TJ, you know it.
Yeah, it's massive. Incredible. It's massive. And Dalo, you know this from being involved in games. That game yesterday, from being involved in, that's some emotional roller coaster. You're winning it, you've at last, you won. You'll be drained for days. Like you need to wake up for 2 or 3 days after that.
Yeah, can you imagine when the 65 was awarded, what was going through everyone, bar John McGrano, who had to concentrate.
And he missed the free just before it.
And Barry in goal had to concentrate because, as you said, Ken, he was ready for what he was doing with the puck out. And can you imagine everybody else saying, we have it now. Please, John, put it over. Please, John, put it wide again. And all of a sudden, there's a go. Oh, geez, I can't remember drama like it, really.
You mentioned to me, Eamon Kelly as well, and Paddy Kelly, they've been involved in the club for so long. I remember playing under 12 semi final with Laura. We were playing Ballina in a semi final, and we went to Nina to play it. It was a big evening for us. And Keane and the lads were playing, and I remember. Nina was double booked, would you believe it? It was double booked, whatever happened with the Borden and Ogan, the North Board. And here we were, both teams togged out, ready to go, no game. And we rang out to puck on Paddy Kelly, and he went out and put the temporary goals up, on the puck on pitch. At short notice, both teams, both sets of supporters went out and played the match. You know, that's how organised that club is, and the Paddy Kellys and the Eamon Kellys, and the people that have been involved in that club for so long, they got their day today. Donald Hackett, Dan Hackett's father, who died unfortunately during the year, who lived and bred Kildangan and Hurling. For those people today to be together as a group, as a parish, in unison, as county senior Hurling champions, it's a huge dream come true for them.
Yeah, well said, Ken. And for the Hacketts and for the Kellys and for the Egans and for the Gallaghers and the Flynns even Shane McGowan, we'll throw in, who was in a snug and puck on. To have that Dan Breen sitting up in front of him today will be magic. And we give them our 100%. We've loved these podcasts on the club games, and we give them 100%. And our hearts do go out to the Loughmore boys as well. And we wish them the best of luck next week. And that's not been hard on Clonmillan anyway, but we do wish them well as well, because they've been so great. TJ, you had... we'll talk a bit about your own game being called off in a minute, but you had to pay a few bob. I suppose you had a secret code, like yourself and Landers normally have for the matches, but I don't know whether you paid £8 to the Galway County Board or not, but you got to watch Turlough Moore, as you predicted last week, coming through their semi-final.
You know what, Dylan? I actually had to pay a tenner. I don't know what happened. Yeah. The two matches on for a tenner, but then because one of the games was called off.
Hold it. You'll get that other match free next week, so because you'll be at it. You'll give me the code, will you?
Well, I'll give you the code. That's fair enough.
I'm giving that into the Galway lads.
I suppose, first of all, our own game was called off, and I missed it. The one day that there was little or no breeze in Salt Hill, I'm giving out about it all year, and the match is called off. How significant is that? But yeah, great game again. Turlough Moore had a very good win. They missed the penalty just before half time and then got a goal right in the stroke at half time. So, they were definitely the better side. Lochreg got a goal later on to kind of keep the game interesting. But Dahi Burke in the middle of the field, just very effective for Turlough Moore again. Just read Jamie Holland centre back. Yeah, they definitely bossed the game. They were a better side. So Turlough Moore, I just read afterwards, it's their first final since 1990. There's an awful lot of work going on there. I think they've won the last two. There was no failure this year, but Turlough Moore have won the last two All-Ireland failures in the previous 2 years. So that can just tell you there's a club going places. So here in the county final, and obviously will be a formidable force for whoever is there. We don't have to worry about them for the moment. Our game, Dalo against Capitagle, has been refixed for Athenry next Sunday at 3:00. So we have to just get ourselves sorted out this week. There was a COVID case.
Just misfortunate circumstances, TJ. I know with COVID and you have to take no chances then.
Yeah, it wasn't a direct contact. It was a casual contact. And there was a lot of, I suppose, maybe PR stuff involved with the club, the county board and NPHET. And my belief is from everybody around was that the advice was very good. The HC were involved. It was very clear, very quick. The game was called off. In fairness to Cappy, they agreed as well. And they were happy to do it and push the game out. So the game had just been delayed a week, which is kind of a team for the weekend, because I was reading, I think it was 3 games off in Cork and it was a game off in Donegal and a game off somewhere else. So it's a tricky scenario, but in fairness to everybody involved, it looks like the correct decision was made and the game is pushed out to next week. So our semi-final is next Sunday.
Yeah, and as you said about Capitagle, no problem. And that's one of the things, Kenan. I know you have to go soon, Kenan. It's all my fault for delaying you because we had Wi-Fi problems here in West Clare. Normally, West Clare Wi-Fi, I'm going to give it up cheats for the podcast. Have been very good. A bit of a worry at the moment, Ken, with the spread in cases. I know you have it done and dusted and tape on the hurling side, but just that, you know, 3 big games, 2 of the quarterfinals in the senior football in Cork called off and a Premier Intermediate, I think, you know, and other cases maybe. And I know a few friends of mine, even a very good friend of mine, one of my best friends, has been struck down with it, got the news yesterday, just working with a lad that got it. And he's a bit of a worry, isn't it? Over the next few weeks.
To be honest about Dalo, it's a huge worry. We're hanging by a thread, to tell you the truth. The cases again, like yesterday, huge amount up towards 400. I suppose the bigger worry for everybody is when it hits the rural counties, particularly Hard, Louth, Donegal, TJ mentioned Galway down to Cork. And then you had the Tullamore situation, which is very close to us. I'm involved in the Offaly Championship semi-finals next week with St. Ryan's against Borr. We've had cases in Borr, we've had cases in Tullamore. So everybody's on the red alert, and it's amazing now when you come together as a team, as a group of players, you know, as well as having their own water bottles and having their own towels and keeping away from each other. The important thing you're saying at the end of the session is, lads, we're training next Tuesday, Wednesday night. Keep safe. Keep out of harm's way. Look after yourself. Mind your own business and do your job and do your work, but don't get caught in a situation that you're in groups. And I think, you know, we've got to keep emphasizing, you know, that we've got to take responsibility ourselves. Everybody has got to take responsibility. It is hanging by a thread. Sport has kept us going. You know, we're talking about the Intercounty Championship coming up as well. We want the local championship finished, but it's going to shorten the winter for us, Dalo. If we, if we can see all the Intercounty Fair at football and hurling, minor 20 and senior, it'll shorten the winter for the people of Ireland. And it's so important now that we cling on to what we have and take responsibility. And like, I have to say, and I'm sure it's the same in Clare and Limerick, lads, but hats off to Tip County Board. They rang the championships absolutely magnificently. Everybody was accredited going in yesterday. Nobody got in. Everybody, the contract tracing was there. Everybody had to give their numbers. Everybody knew who was absolutely in the stadium. So there was nobody shirking responsibility. And I think they've ran a brilliant championship, obviously with absolutely no revenue coming in. So tremendous work by the county boards to do that.
And even with the crowds back in, which was a little worry for me, Ken, and I'm going to give credit to the county board as well. Limerick and Clare, I've seen the Limerick games be covered, and the Clare Championship, which I've been, you know, lucky enough to be at a few, covering a few. Excellent, I would say. But even yesterday, I came across on the radio commentary that Robert Ryan, I think, and Tim Floyd went over to a section of the crowd and asked them, would they distance, please, lads, you know, because TJ, it was a bit of a complaint on Saturday night that the Dune section, I'm not blaming them either now, it's just that people are not used to being at matches, that they were sitting a bit close together and we have to try and separate. And Ken, that had to be done yesterday, and rightly so. And we just have to take that responsibility as spectators as well.
Yeah, but you have to give credit to the county boards the way they've gone about their business. And in fairness with the fans, at difficult times in clubs, trying to only let 100 people or 200 people into games, they've done the right thing. They've tried to play by the rules. I think it's a kind of a nature and a culture amongst us when you go to a match that you try to go and meet someone, and that's going to be hard to get out of people going forward, maybe as the crowd increases, because I think... Like, where do you meet people? Like, you meet people at a match, and you might have seen somebody in a month or 6 weeks, so your natural kind of tendency straight away is to go and meet him. And sometimes, even for me today, when I haven't met somebody in a long time, your natural tendency is to put your hand, even to go and shake hands with him. So it's our culture, that's the way it is. But credit to the guys, it was great to get the championship. I hope the rest of them do get finished. And like Ken, I really hope the intercounty happens. We need it. It'll definitely help the winter. It'll be great for people all around the country, football and hurling. We definitely want it to happen.
Yeah, a couple of more things to cover, lads, just on the weekend. But Ken, I know you have to go, and just want to talk to you quickly about the Offaly semi-finals. I want to ask you to, what I've been observing is that Burr are going well. I know from my context, Ballyhea were shocked in the Clare semi-final by Callaghan's Mills, but Burr had beaten them the previous weekend in the challenge match, and that jumped out at me. And I know last year from involved with Kilmacud, we went down and played them in Burr, and I was impressed with them. So while you probably are favourites, it's gone very much anyone's championship in Offaly at the moment.
Yeah, it's anyone's championship, and we had a bit of a setback. Unfortunately, we lost Joey O'Connor through a straight red. Now, of course, being partisan as well as yourself, I saw it was right in front of me, and it was the most harmless incident I ever witnessed. But in fairness, you have to accept the decision. It's as simple as that, and we've got to accept it. But Burr, it's like Gilladangan. Burr were so close last year, you know. We just caught him at the winning post last year. It's going to be some game. It's in Tullamore next Sunday evening. The first semi-final is on Saturday evening, Kilcormac Killahey. Of course, strong, huge, a Senior B team and a Senior A team. And survived in Senior B, you know, absolutely comfortably. So from that point of view, huge pick. But Belmount have been on the horizon for the last number of years. David Kenny still playing at centre forward, the Egans are involved. Oisin Kelly, of course, a marquee forward. And it could be Belmount's year to get to a final. They've been beaten in 4 or 5 semi-finals, Dalo, and they could get to the final. But Boran Ryanis, like all local derbies, is all to play for. And that's going to be some hell of a game on next Sunday evening.
Okay, Ken. And we'll wish you the best of luck on that. We'll wish everyone the best of luck. Myself and TJ have to remain neutral, but we know you're stuck in the middle of it. So we wish you the best of luck. And thanks a million for joining us today, Ken. Have a good week. And just for the Laura lads to pick it up again. And if John McIntyre stays going, I've no doubt that you'll be rattling that thing, that Seamus O'Regan again next year. The Kenyans, Larry's keeping an eye on us all there. They probably have a say as well. But thanks a million for joining us, Ken.
Cheers, lads.
Thanks, Ken.
Thanks. God bless. Bye-bye.
So, TJ, we had a few more talking points yesterday, right? I streamed out of, I have to say, the involvement in Kerry. I could have streamed the Dublin final, but I suppose when Crokes weren't in it, I said I'll go with Kilmiley and Causeway because I know the rivalry. TJ, this is the amazing thing with hurling and these breaks and water breaks. I wanted to talk to you about that as well because that was huge in Limerick as well. Going back to the Limerick one, I think it was, and I just want to say thanks to acknowledge Dave Punch, who does the stats for us when we're doing the co-commentaries, and that's, Dave was just saying to me, it was 9-6 at the first water break, but by half time, it was 1-12-9 points, which is massive. And at the second water break then, I look, it was 2-19-1-12 now, it's probably game over. but Doon didn't even get a score after the second water break. And like these breaks, like I go back to Kerry, Kilmiley came out of the blocks as underdogs against a really good cause of a team now who would be favourites from the start of the year. Kilmiley would have been no chance really, except Myler was back on board, and Myler has some record in Kerry. Like I think it might be sixth or seventh championship winning with Kilmiley, and Kilmiley would be a great county final team, if you know what I mean. That some clubs are like that, if they get in there at all, they'd feel they'd win it, and they usually, I felt they'd put up a massive, they were underdogs as I say, but half time the score is 2-8 to 4 points, TJ. Like they've blitzed them, 10-point game, they've played them off the field, like. And you're saying, unless they do something silly here, you're Daniel Connell scoring all the frees, you had Massey O'Connor on fire up front, like two brilliant goals. If you get a chance and we see the clip of the kicked goal, if they showed it on Match of the Day, they'd be saying goal of the week. He lost his hurley, it was either dragged out of his hand or he fell out of his hand. And he was still about 14 yards out. Well, this kick, and they don't play football. They don't play football in Kilmiley. Right. And we were on about David Dempsey's goal, top corner. But anyway, half time comes, and to the water break, Kilmiley don't score, and Causeway level the game. And the less, and then the water break comes, and Myler gets them in around him, and they come out and score three without reply. Then Kilmiley.
Yeah, yeah.
It didn't look like getting a point at that stage. Isn't it amazing? Like,
are you advocating maybe timeouts, like in
I haven't had a chance in my managerial or coaching time to have water breaks. You have. What's bloody well going on in these water breaks?
It just gives you that 30, 45 seconds. Just you only really get an opportunity to make 1 point, right? So you might just fix one thing, because you notice that even at half-time, trying to get four or five or six things across doesn't really usually happen. Might get two maybe at half-time, right? But
can I stop you there? Are you talking to the likes of Kevin then, Kevin Lelly, and your lads saying, lads, what's the 1 point? Think of the 1 point.
We try to refine it to 1 point at the water break, right? So we go to the stats guys, see whatever's glaring, obviously from your own visuals. So you say, this is the one thing. It could be your own puck out. It could be your resets on the opposition puck out. It could be just 1 point that you see that we're not doing. You might be a fraction off it or whatever. So you're trying to focus in on that. Or else, like I have seen in games where maybe the minds get tired and maybe you switch off because you have been 10 points up and your intensity isn't, you're not in the same zone. Get them back into full concentration, rezone them. It's a bit like being a training day. Look, when you do the first two drills and you see it, you say, you know what, lads, we're not on the money here. Right? You call them in for that split 30 seconds, right? You give your little bit of a bollocking or whatever, and then they're away and then you're in the zone. It's a little bit like that. And as I say, yeah, it's a bit like a timeout in America. Why did they call a timeout in American football just before that critical play? You get the guys in the zone and away you go. But to go back to Doon, the previous week against Kilmallock, they got two goals straight after the water break. It was perfect timing. So, yeah, when you win, it kind of papers up everything and you kind of look to all those things.
Yeah, I think going back to it, it's going to be, I presume it's going to stay with us, Larry, for the inter-county. I don't know if there's been a decision on that, but I presume it's going to stay with us with the COVID situation. And the reason for it is that water carriers are not running in out of the field.
I think it's there, yeah. I must say, I find it magnificent for the Douglas Hall under 11 girls, like, because you get a chance to tie their laces in the old water break.
Fair play, fair play.
But there was just one thing I never do water breaks. I mean, Bob's under 14s and guys playing, and Donny's roomful is in goals, right? And in the last game we played, he kind of said to me, for the water breaks, do you want me to come up?
The Rhines and economy there are always the same way. Yeah, we were the same with Clarecastle with Jamie Coughlin in goal. We decided to leave Jamie
above
in goal if the water break was in a certain half, because to be putting him under a bit of pressure and leave him alone. He was keeping the goal fine and leave him at it. And what I noticed with Doon tried to do with the water break on Saturday night was the forwards stayed together on one side of the field,
yeah,
in the backs. And I said, is this a great move? But then, of course, if it works and you win, everything is right. If it doesn't,
That's always the way, yeah.
But you wouldn't believe the Kerry one in the second half, TJ. Like, the camera focused on the Causeway boys because they had cut down the 10-point lead to nothing. Zero. Yeah. Drawn match. And they were pumping each other. They were belting each other. And we have them. And the rivalry is so intense. Where Myler must have just said, lads, are you going to let your families that are here and watching on TV and streaming, have you ent-? And like they came out and hit three of the next 4 points, like two in a row. Then they gave one back and they got the third one, you know. So And that's just, they only got over the line by a point. But you know, that, for me, Causeway, if there was no water break, would have gone on and won that Kerry Cup.
I was going to ask you that question. No, nobody will ever know the answer to that. But in the absence of a water break, were Causeway in so much ascendancy, would they have kicked on?
I could see no way. Jason Diggins had taken over at centre back. Jesus, a centre back that as good as I've seen now. And down in Kerry, you know, you're talking Joe McDonagh level, but Jesus, top player. But their four, even their subs, had met. And there was no, and like Daniel Collins, who'd be Kilmiley, Tom Murnane, they had faded. But they thundered in then for the last 13 minutes again, which is absolutely amazing. And
is there a possibility post COVID that you could have let's say either a water break or a possible timeout, one for each half or one for each manager?
Well, I'd say there'll be some voting for it and some voting not, but it's a real challenge for the Caroline Currids and the Liam Oggins and all these people out there, isn't it? That are, what's the right thing to do on a timeout? And I presume there's loads of examples that can be taken from the American sports that it's allowed in. And even handball, a part of our own association, you can call a timeout. You know, okay, you can have a quick word with your coach or whatever at the top level. I've seen it happen. And it's something for... But look, a fierce congrats, I'd say. There'll be a right evening in the talker this evening down there. I hope, lads, you can keep the social distancing with the six at the table. But Nealis Flynn, even though he'd originated, Nealis Flynn's grandson, Tyke Flynn, would have been in goal for Causeway. So they had it last year, but the boys have it back for the 25th time. And John Brendan O'Halloran, the goalie, who was my goalie while I was there, I have to say, I was only a young lad. I was only 17, and I think the first county final we played in. And to see him going up lifting it yesterday, I was thrilled for them all. Close-knit, how do Kilmiley keep doing it? 25 championships, no village, one pub, one church, one field, and then a load of farms and houses. But great for them, and hard luck to Causeway. They'll be back because they have such a panel, and they're, as I said, the quality. You know, Brandon Barrett didn't even start for them. He'd be established Kerry, but when he came on as well, that really turned it. But really enjoyed it as well. TJ, great final in Dublin as well. Again here, Bowden. And I knew Borden had come out fighting. It's yeah. They're just belly Borden, like with Keeney alone. And I think he eventually walked on a second yellow. But like Keeney at 38, we're on about Owen Kelly. He's a specimen as well of an athlete. You know, he minds himself that well. But the likes of Keeney, James Madden did a massive job, as we speculated last week with Jer on Conor Callaghan. But yes, Con, after the last water break, Borden's still ahead. Con broke through, got the goal, but was dragged back for the penalty, and up stepped Sean Moran. And Sean got 2-3 and 1-2 from play from midfield. And Kula managed to pull off a great club team. And we were on about the whole All-Ireland club, Munster club, and Kula being back in the Leinster club would have been absolutely massive as well, TJ.
Yeah, I see someone writing about Cool and possibly Belly Hale, and you have to obviously give credit to Dixburg because Belly Hale and won that yet. But to go back to Conn and Owen Kelly and these guys, they're just such great players. Like, yeah, it mightn't happen. And those inside forwards, you talked about patience earlier on, they're just incredible. Like Conn, like, give you some addition to the Dublin Hurling team, I imagine, if they could have imagined being an inside forward. But yeah, I was just saying to Ken there, well, you went to next door for a pint earlier on, Dello, the quality of the club championship overall, the physicality of the players, the shape of the players. It's been some advert for the game, and we've had the classics to go with it, whether it was in Kilkenny or in Tipperary and TG4 or whatever. Like, yeah. But the club game is in a good place in most of the counties that we've been watching, a real high quality. It's moved up managers, strength and conditioning, like stats guys. You can see them all working together. I've seen guys coming down with notice boards just in those water breaks. So club game really to the fore, I think.
Yeah, and a big dilemma for the GA now, I think, and GPA, CPA. What way are we going to come up with a system now? Will it be county first, club first? I see lads coming out saying maybe club first is the way to go now.
Yeah, I think I'm a club first myself, both at the moment. The other piece that's missing here, maybe, are we going to see potentially a player that might have been part of the squad in the spring that might have just sprung to the fore in the club championship? John Kiley or Liam Sheedy's going to see whether it's a Ronan Lynch or a John Maher, and those guys play a role. Like that would be the kind of finishing touch to really drive home the nail for a club game. But overall, I suppose the lack of the club championship fellow is a little bit disappointing. I know it was a call they made. I know it's great to have county championships and it's great to have inter-county. But I suppose for somebody like a Killadangan especially, right? Or maybe even a Coola who have unfinished business, or an Appearcy who didn't happen last year. Whatever your reasons are, it is a bit disappointing for those guys who don't have a club championship to look forward to.
Yeah, I suppose especially for the established ones that have been there. But I'd say Killadangan won mine, TJ. It's over. They can't lose. They can't finish up on any disappointing note.
That's possibly
year.
True. Yeah, possibly yeah. True.
Well, great kudos for Willie Maher. Like, went in after Matty Kenny, like, who had two All-Irelands with Coola, and he's won back-to-back championships now. And, like, there's whatever you say about Tip, Larry, as well. Like, there's an abundance of coaches there as well. You, Liam Cahill in Waterford, and Willie now, you know, proving his worth as well. I know he's a great underage coach with Tip as well. So you have a lot of coaches as well as a lot of players, Larry. So there's been no poor mouth tolerated out of you this year.
A bit of missionary work around the place, like you have. Oh,
Jesus, this is back to the stuff in the late 80s, early 90s.
Spreading the gospel.
Spreading the gospel, yeah. And just a quick mention before we look ahead to what we have ahead. The Down final. I just want to touch on this because I know how I've been up there a few times. Ballycran and Portaferry played an absolute epic extra time. Two massive local rivals. But they decided they weren't going to penalties up in the Ards Peninsula, TJ. They said they're having a replay in 2 weeks' time. And we'll fill the pitch again and we won't be able to fill the pitch. I'd obviously have a few more supporters allowed in the north. But they decided they were doing it their own way anyway. I thought we were all getting ready for penalties in Turles.
I know. Well, I put up a message on WhatsApp to yourself and Landers and Larry yesterday to see, because I was getting ready for penalties in the Tip Championship. I said, the referee is definitely going to make it. And you didn't even have a chance to reply to me when we saw what unfolded. I probably would be of the mindset that a replay where time allows is definitely the better way to go. So fair play to them.
Yeah, I suppose you could say that, but if like with Loughmore situation, if you're Liam Sheedy in the stand,
yeah, definitely,
you're a lot more of a football final to play. So a replay wasn't going to be next week; it was definitely going to be 2 weeks. So, and he's to try and get ready for the winners of Clare and Limerick. So yeah.
At the same time, I was probably secretly hoping yesterday that we'd have got penalties in that game. I was looking forward to the excitement of it. So. Yeah, that's the child in me coming out again every now and
yeah,
again.
Yeah, it's like a fella in the World Cup, like, you know, he's don't score. We want to see fellas suffering here. Even these fellas have to go to work this morning. Like, yeah. We want to see them suffering, missing a penalty to try and win the first ever county final for their club. Like, you know, that's the madness in it. So, look, lads, that's I suppose, a lot to look forward to. Ken touched on awfully. Great novel final in Clare next week. Willow Callaghan's Mills win the first one. They won the Junior A yesterday. I got another text from Fingers last night. Up the fireballs. They're known as the O'Callaghan's Mills. Fingers isn't texting me but I'm getting these raft of weekly texts now, you know. They won the Junior A yesterday. They conceded 25 points, but they scored something like 4-15 or something, you know. Mad score. And if the Junior A won, my uncle's cup, John Daly, I text one or two of them to look after my Uncle John out there. And they have the senior final next week. But Six Mile Bridge will be the favourites there. We've a massive semi-final, obviously. But I suppose Kilkenny will be huge next week as well, we'd have to say. Ballyhale, yeah, everything was massive about that James Stevens win. But you would have nearly Dixborough ahead of James Stevens at the moment in talent and the quality of their first 15, so I think we could be in for a huge one there as well.
That looks a classic. Is it on TV deal, is it?
I think so. I'm not 100% certain now between trying to put notes and to put everything together from watching. I'm googly-eyed from watching matches and trying to watch the golf as well then last night. So I was up early this morning trying to, and then Wi-Fi problems and everything else. But I presume TG Cahir won't kick a white ball and not have a hurling game as the main game next week at the moment, you know.
So. And there's semi-finals in Cork as well next weekend, isn't there?
Oh, the little All-Ireland.
Little All-Ireland's back.
The two-year-old.
Miss Landers today. Yeah.
The two-year-old will be broken.
We'll have the pedigree next week, yeah.
We'll get the pedigree, we'll get the breeding, we won't get the price off him, of course. But we've also one bet left standing on the group thing. We'll be looking at results. Can't reveal that to the public. We'll be hoping. We've a couple up, so we'll be hoping for a couple of more to come up.
Yeah, Dale, I have two more things to you before we finish up, right? Obviously, Bale is coming home. I must be a big plus. Must be excited about that, number one. And number two, Bryson DeChambeau, I'm sure you were watching him last night, right? The question I have is, he's going to change golf, I think, right? Like, I'm probably in the camp of he was slow. It was kind of hard to watch him at times. Some of his driving was just unbelievable. Is there a goalkeeper potentially looking at something here? Can I drive the ball further? Is there a game changer coming down? Because, like, you wouldn't have thought 12 months ago that somebody could just revolutionise golf. But I think this guy's going to do it.
Yeah, quickly on the Bailey thing, you know, I know, buying a 31-year-old there for, and he's out injured for the next five games. The jury's out for me. I'd be more excited about the left back they've signed, thank God, that you might be beginning to have a back four and that. But yeah,
Bale might do as much to change golf as Bryson there.
Yeah, I saw a little picture of the new stadium with a few bunkers put in by some smart aleck with you know, these WhatsApp messages. Yeah, Larry, we'll leave that, Larry. We'll talk about that at the Christmas party when we're gone 7 points ahead of you as normal, like, you know. But the gas thing about it is, TJ, and I was only watching it closely last night, and Jesus, do you know what? Every tournament this year, I've nearly had a couple of bob on him each way. And what I just read so much about winged foot that it wasn't going to suit him. He was going to be in so much tough rough.
Trouble, yeah.
But he was in so much tough rough, but he's such strength and power. He can get a wedge to out of the heaviest rough to the front of the green. And he's a brilliant putter. And the putter as well, if you watch it, it's just like a pendulum.
It.
You know? But you know what he is? He's an honours degree in physics.
Physics. I read it. Yeah, he's put on 20 kgs. Like, and obviously, he's into ball spin and the movement. Like, but he's driving. I think it was one par five yesterday. It was a driver and a wedge.
Yeah. He played a wedge to a par three. 195 yards, like, which is just like, it's just not possible. Now Wolf nearly has as big a hitter. So I wonder are young lads coming out of collegiate golf now going to look at that and say, but I can't see in hurling. You know, we've all seen the cool tech hurlies coming in and me giving out to Ryan O'Dwyer that was like a trampoline. His first touch was like a trampoline effect with the cool tech hurley. Now, some people love him and a lot of goalies do use him for puck outs. But I think we've such a sport that's so instinctive and no, like as the great old one says, we were above watching a US PGA, I think, above on a Thursday night above in Galway. After playing, I think we were after playing Athenry, and they invited us back to some pub for tea and sandwiches, and no one was having a drink because the rivalry was bitter between Tip and Galway around then, but no one was having a drink because we were playing on the Sunday week, and this was the Thursday night week, we said before it, and some old lad, two stories from that, some old lad at the counter said, we all ordered, went in and said, could I have a still water, please? And some old lad just having these few pints quiet ones at the counter, he turned back. And now it was in the middle of the bitterness between Tip and Galway, if you remember. And he said, lads, I don't mind what water you drink once you don't drink that Tipperary stuff. but the other thing is, the golf was on the telly. And this was the early 90s, let's say. And Tiger stuck one in to about 3 inches from 200 yards. And famously, our manager at the time, Jack Maloney, said, we all went, ah, oh, lads, what a shot. Like, what a player this fella is. And he'd be coming. And our manager at the time, Jack Maloney, he says, why wouldn't he, lads, and no one on him? And that's, you know, while golf might be able to be revolutionised, TJ, I just think, like, our game. And that's what's amazing about Joe Gallagher being allowed to get a free catch.
I know.
I wonder where the likes of John Maher and those lads had their hands up in the air thinking they had won the Tipperary final. But look, again, I'm not going to take it away from Kildangan. It was a magnificent finish. And it's so much to talk about, lads. And sorry about the Wi-Fi stuff, TJ. And I wasn't gone down for a pint, but I can guarantee you before the evening is out, for the first time since the 14th day of March, TJ, I will be sampling a creamy, fresh, from the middle of the barrel pint of porter in Murty Brown's.
Well, quality control, Dale, in all organisations is critical, as we all well know. So are you going down there on a quality control role just to make sure that it's okay for the rest of West Clare to come along?
Well, I do own the place, but Shane has it leased off me. And so it's his baby, I suppose, but he's all the work done. My Una was down there. She was giving a hand gesture. She said, oh, Daddy, the place is unreal. Sanitizer on the tables. And he's bought new tables. And So I'm hoping I get a table, TJ. That's the bottom line here. Yeah. So I'm going to have to keep an eye out the window to watch how many are being dropped off for parking up, but what's the story? And even text Shane to say, what's the table situation like? Can I hold one? I don't think he's allowing bookings. It's first come, first serve. So let's see how it goes.
So it's great to open, in fairness. They've hit
outlines. It is. And I just hope with the outbreaks that they're not closed again. But yeah, I think people will do their best. I think it's up to the people running the pubs as well to run a good show, like we talked about the GAA. So, yeah, lads, thanks a million. Thanks, Larry. Thanks, TJ. We love having Kane on with us. Great stuff again, lads. Hope you enjoyed the content. We tried to poke around as much as we can. We've done golf. We've done Bryson DeChambeau. We have done the pubs opening. We've done Garrett Bale coming back to the new lane. and he has won everything now since he went to Madrid. So we need him to win everything now since he's back in North London. Larry, you okay with that?
And the year ends in a one, Dale. Oh, you're dangerous.
Ah, you said it. Good luck, lads.
See you guys.
Good luck.